Now, having gotten all that over with, Mr. Judd, I would like you to recall whatever you can about the store that your father had here. W.L. Judd. Now, we have interviewed quite a number of people, and they've all talked about bringing things over the mountain that he would buy and that they would buy from him. Do you recall anything about the store?
Yes. I don't remember when it built. The store, when I was born, the store was up there in an old house right between here and Uncle Charlie's, old Judd home place. My dad had a store in the corner, well, in one of the rooms of the house. That's where he started.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was born in 1906, well, he had a store there. And then I don't remember when he built this one. I was too young. Now, he must have built this one maybe in 1909 or maybe 1908, somewhere along there.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, of course, everybody would come to the store, all up out of Jewel Holler. Shank Holler, a lot of them out of Shank Holler. It's over right back at Park Headquarters, you know, up in the Shank Holler.
Mm-hmm. How would they get here?
Walk.
They'd walk?
Walk.
Mm-hmm. Nicholson Holler came over here,
old man Madison Carbon. George Carbon, he's still living yet. George lives in Luray. Now, George is 85 or 86 years old. And I talked with him the other day. And, you know, just talking about coming over the mountain. He said he didn't think he'd get over there now, walk over. They come through up here where the old crusher used to sit, right there.
Where the old what?
Huh? Where crusher. What? There was a crusher set on top of the mountain up there when they built Skyland.
Oh, where they call it Crusher Ridge?
Yeah. You see, that goes up right along here, Crusher Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a crusher set up there when they built the Skyland Drive. Of course, they would come up out of Nicholson Holler, out of Hughes River, come on up that ridge during the Hughes River Gap and the Pinnacles, right between there.
Yeah.
And come on over here. They'd always come on Saturday morning.
What would they buy?
What did they buy?
Yeah.
Well, they bought just anything at that time. They'd buy sugar, coffee, and
salt.
Things that you had to have. What good sugar and coffee? What else?
Salt.
Would
they,
Kerosene.
Huh?
Kerosene.
I think they would buy kerosene in gallon cans. I think maybe they'd buy kerosene. Yeah.
Flour.
And the flour. They bought flour. Yeah. They bought flour.
Now, how would they pay for this?
Well, they some of them had money, and some of them didn't. Some of them, they would charge it. Dad wrote an account with them, and he knew. Some of them he wouldn't, some of them he would. Now, he knew them. Mm-hmm. And lots of times, old man Madison Carbon, he was about the head one there in Nichols Holler. And he was an honest man. You know what I'm talking about being honest. He was.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people would want credit, and Mr. Carbon would have to write a note to Dad to let him have it, that he would stand good for it. Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
They help each other.
That's right. They did help each other.
Yeah.
Right.
They did, yes.
Now, have you any idea, I know one of the men I interviewed said that he used to bring beans here to your father.
Who?
This is Edward Nicholson Sr. He said We would select beings and bring them down to W. Lee Judd, and he would pick out which beings he wanted. Now, would he give them credit for that, or would he give them money?
Well, no, he never gave them money.
They get credit against these things that
they
bought.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that time, they had a lot of chestnuts on the pinnacle. They'd bring bags of bushels of chestnuts, and they would trade them chestnuts for something to eat.
What would your father do with these things?
He would ship them to W.E. North, Baltimore, Maryland.
He
would bag them up. I'd take them to town, or somebody would take them down in the wagon and ship them.
So he didn't use them then in local trade, because the people here had their own, right?
Well, he didn't. He couldn't sell them locally. Not at that time.
No.
No.
Do you recall what all they used to bring?
Well, they brought chestnuts, for one thing I know. Ginseng. Yeah, they pick it out of the mountain.
Yeah.
And dried apples. They would dry the apples and burn the apples.
And what kind of apples?
Dried.
Dried
apples.
Yeah, dried
and
apples.
And then they would bring them over here and use them.
And the beans. And,
beans, I think he did buy some beans at times. I don't remember much about the beans.
I didn't know how about walnut
kernels. Walnut kernels, yeah.
Anything else?
He'd buy meat if he had it to sell. You know what I mean. He'd buy
What would he do with the meat?
Then he'd sell it.
He would sell it.
Where?
Well, sometimes he'd sell it. Our friend Lou Ray wanted a ham, see?
Oh.
Or something like that. Or somebody called him up wanting a ham. I don't know who he sell it to. Maybe somebody in Lou Ray. They would sometimes bring a fresh ham. And he would cure it here. See what I'm saying? But it was his meat, and cure it and sell it. And maybe.
Then he had his own smokehouse, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, he killed hogs here and had his own smokehouse. Just anything to happen. They didn't have nothing. You know what I'm talking about. They didn't have no money.
No.
Money was almost existing.
That's right. So it was all on barter with these people.
Yeah.
Do you recall the story about Aaron Nicholson ordering that stove?
I've heard that. I don't know what that went. That went up. That stove was got. I think George Hartman got a stove from my dad in Kaiser Carson now. I believe he did. George Hartman. Now, I never said nothing to him about it, but if I see him, I'm going to ask him whether he did. I believe he did.
Because that's what everybody believes Aaron Nicholson did.
Now, Nichols, the story I've heard about Nichols, got his in somewhere over about Stony Man or somewhere. They brought it up over North Norris Sowers and went up that way with it, up where Cecil Griffin lives now. You know, that cabin went up that side of the mountain with it. But I think George Carlin was the only man, I believe, got a cook stove.
Now, how did he pay for that?
Well, I couldn't tell you. He might have bought chestnuts. He might. I couldn't. Maybe bought meat. I just don't know.
Your father must have had a very complicated bookkeeping system.
Oh, well, he just kept a little ledger, that's all. He wrote the man's name down there, whatever he got. Whatever he brought, he gave him credit for, and whatever they bought, he put it on the bill.
Mm-hmm.
He just had a book. And we got one of them books here now.
Yeah, we got one.
It's in there.
It ought to be in here.
That would be marvelous to see. But while I'm thinking of it, now, while, would the people come down, like, for instance, in the springtime, to buy seeds or things of this kind?
To a certain extent. They never bought seeds like we do now, because they planted their own seed in them days. They might have traded between themselves, you understand, but they never bought no seeds like we do now.
Yeah. So there were no particular patterns that went on during the seasons, in the spring or in the fall or anything.
Well, the fall they had chestnuts, that's about all.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Arch Ellis still has one of those tokens that your father used to give out.
Well, we ought to have a couple here somewhere, but I declare I don't know where they're
at. He said he has carried that all his life. Yeah. Now, what was that token? Would it give them credit?
That's right. If you bought a chicken, say you bought a chicken store, a dozen eggs, and you didn't deal out but half of that, supposed to come to a dollar all of it, well, you owed him 50 cents. And you'd give him a 50 cent due bill to come back and spend it. But this was on the basic expenditure.
Mm-hmm. That was a very smart idea.
Well, it's all right, but it didn't have nowhere else to go. You didn't go to Luray.
No.
My mother and dad went to Luray about twice a year. And they would plan a week before they went. You'd have broke down, you'd be going to the bank. He had to go.
Well, the book, well, it's one with a red back on it. Yeah. I wonder where that is.
I don't know. You say, this ain't the one. This book here. This old Judd Detman, my dad's brother, used to run a huckster wagon up through here.
Oh.
Now, see there, this was the huckster.
Yeah.
Understand? He'd, there's this old jug to cash, $30. To eggs, cash, $7.41. And then they buy bill, I don't know what that, $19 or something. You know, they kept the record of everything he sold him. And that was,
I see.
That,
then this huckster would come by and buy things.
Well, this was the huckster, see? This is what Dad sold to him, see?
Yeah.
Eggs. That's June the 1st, 1904.
Oh, boy.
See?
Yeah.
And
how often would this huckster go by? Let's see, June, about once a month, right?
Yeah, well, no, yeah.
July. Yeah. Oh, don't tear it. June.
Now, here's June the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 23rd, 29th, and 25th. See?
Yeah.
That's the times he would come by, what the... Now this is July, see?
Yeah.
21st, 29th.
Then he came by almost every other day, didn't he?
Well, about once a week. And lots of times, if he had a way, well, we'd send stuff down to him, see? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something that was personal.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's valuable. Don't lose it. Have you any... excuse me. Have you any recollections about the way those people lived?
Well, over the mountain, over Madison. Well, I was over there one time when I guess I was about 10 years old. I went over there with Woody Corbett and stayed all night. And they had plenty to eat. Bread. The bread was cooked on the stove. What you call a home pan or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Home pan or whatever it was.
Right.
Warm bread, and they had meat and everything like that. And they raised their own stuff. They raised their hogs and they had a cow. And I remember that there was a, during the time that they had hay up on the field right above the house. And he was up there mowing hay when I got up. He got up before I did. And I looked out the window. He was up there at the size of mowing his hay to get it in, you know, for the winter for his cow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you live. It's only, it was raised practically everything.
They didn't live badly, did they?
No.
They weren't as educated as a lot of people, but they had a good life.
That's right. A good life.
Mm-hmm. They were busy people, though.
Busy. They never, I don't think there was any laziness in the bunch.
No.
They were all the time doing something. And a lot of times, I think that Mr. Corbin maybe taking some stuff. Well, I couldn't see what he taking, maybe meat or the Skyland and sold it to Mr. George Pollock.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard him talk about that.
Did you know Pollock?
Yes, I knew him. Well, I'm just a boy. I knew him when I seen him. I didn't know who was. Never didn't meet him. I didn't. Yeah. Old boys them days wasn't up front. If he was out there, he was in here.
But you know, there have been so many erroneous stories about the mountain people,
yes,
that this is why we're doing this oral history, to try and get it all straightened out. Like that book, Hollow Folk, I think was very, very wrong, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Hollow Folk, did you read that?
Hollow Folks. I just quite don't understand what you...
Well, there was a book that was written about the Corbins and Nicholsons.
I know. Well, the Skyland, was that the one that wrote about Mr. Pollock? I read that one.
No.
I never seen the other one.
Well, it was very, I feel, wrongly done. It told of practically idiot people. Which they were not.
No.
They were intelligent people.
No. They were intelligent. They are, yes, indeed.
And they
had
well.
They had their own culture. You don't understand what I mean. They were people that were together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they talked a little bit different than what we did, but the same language, you could understand it. But
did you ever go to any of their parties?
Went to any of the parties? No. And I did go to them. I have a brother boiling one time down in Madison. It was down below Nutter's Mill. I don't know. I forgot. But they had a nice time down there.
What did they do?
Boiled apple butter. Stayed up all night. Boiled apple butter. Boiled that kettle of apple butter.
How could you have a good time doing that?
Well, not everybody to sit down. It wasn't the worst. I don't know. You enjoyed it.
You just sit around together and talk. That's the way we used to do when we were born.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sit around and talk. And did they play music?
Yes, I believe they did. I believe they had a violin there.
And
I don't know whether it was a banjo or what.
That's right.
There's two people that played.
Yeah. Recall any of the songs they played?
What, ma'am?
Do you recall any of the songs?
No, I don't.
Well, your father had the store here, finally, right?
Well, down there next to you. Yeah.
And about how big was it?
Oh, I say 30 by 40.
Mm-hmm.
30 by 40.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's now like it was then.
Yeah, same thing.
It's the same
now,
thing.
It's the same size it was always.
Only did make an apartment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same outside.
I see.
It's the same size from outside of like it was when it built.
I get it. Yeah. Right. Well, I understand you also were with the CCC.
Yes. I went in the CCC's January 2nd, 1934.
Did you like it?
Yes, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing for people.
Which camp were you in?
Well, I was in Camp 1 till 38 or 39, I just forget which. Then I went to Camp 10.
Where was that?
Camp 10 is right here on the Pinnacles.
Oh.
Where they're at now, right up here.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got a couple of buildings there yet. I'm not sure. I've been there for a long time. And the way I got to 10, they put a sort of a, they had a foreman's, you see, they had the foreman's and they put in a cheaper foreman at less price. He was sort of a substitute to the foreman. And they were paid for the Park Service, taken out of the CCs. And I come over 10 as one of them. Each camp had one or two, I forget which it was, men that was under the, it wasn't in the CCs, but it was under the superintendent of the Department of Interior, what was under the secretary.
What were the boys like?
What were they like?
What were they like?
Good bunch of boys, good bunch of boys. Some of them would come in depressed, you know what I mean, want to go home, get homesick. Some of them would go over the hill, that mean they would slip off and go home. And some of them would go, after they went home, would come back and stay the rest of the term out. It's just, and you had to talk to them. Each camp had 16 local men. And we were sort of to talk to the boys when they come in, you know, help them when they went out on the job, learn them how to pull a cross cut saw, or learn them how to use an axe, or to talk to them, you know, to, you know, any way we could help them.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't, they didn't, some of them did, some of them didn't have the least idea what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Army fed them and clothed them, but, you know, give them a place to stay, recreation.
Mm-hmm.
But then at 8 o'clock in the morning, while it was turned over to the Park Service, and they worked them, you know, till 4 o'clock in the evening, and they bring them in. And then it was in the Army.
Right.
Hook up till then, till next morning late.
Well, it was good practice for them.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I talked with the, you probably know him, Mr. Blevins.
Who are?
Blevins.
Yeah. Doc Blevins.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Doc was there when, I think he was there when I went there, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was very enthusiastic about the type of men that were there.
Oh, Mr. Blevins, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of men was at one, was and 10, both were good. I don't know. Of course, it didn't run smooth. It never run smooth. But what I'm talking about, it was nothing out of the way.
No. What all did you help build?
What did we have to build?
What did you help build?
Well, I helped to build this picnic up here at Pinnacles, that tower there where they had the picnic and them tables.
Mm.
I helped to build that. I put the top of the chimney on it up there, didn't it? And I helped to build that. And I built this cabin here in Schaefer Hollow, you know, this cabin here, I built that.
Right.
And that's when I was 10. And then I built this pump house right back on there at 10, that cement pump house.
Mm-hmm.
And I built a cabin out here right above Panorama. I don't know what to call that anymore. It's on that Appalachian Trail going towards Front Royal. The first
cabin. Oh, one of the bird's nests.
No. The bird nest is right up on top here.
Yeah.
But I'm talking after you leave Panorama, going towards Fort Royal. It's, I don't know. It's
Elk Wallow Shelter?
Might be. It might be.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. up. It's a rock shelter right up on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little long.
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm. So you didn't mind the low pay?
And then we, no, that was good pay at that time. $30 a month. And before you went to CC, sometimes you'd wonder, if I could just make a dollar a day, well, I'd be sitting brilliant. Yeah. You didn't make but 50 cents, maybe. Mm-hmm. And you didn't make that regular.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to spend it for some deep thing.
That's right. It was given to you by the...
You could save almost what you got because you raised it everything you eat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, we was married then. Well, what I say, we didn't know what to, going to town and buying cereals and stuff to eat for breakfast. We didn't buy that, because we had potatoes and we eat gravy and we had our own meat.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to spend it all.
That's it.
No.
Right. Yeah.
But, Lord, you got to really spend it now.
What was your father like?
Well, over there is one of his pictures. I was trying to find that picture where he's taking that here to the store with that huckster wagon. And I haven't found it yet, but it was in this box. The huckster wagon.
Well, he was a good man. He'd do anything for anybody that was in need. You know, understand what I mean? People was in need of help.
Mm-hmm.
But he always expected the same courtesy back. You understand what I mean?
Right.
He was a good man and tried to get along, worked, he'd do everything in the world for him.
Mm-hmm.
If he wasn't, it made a big difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did he make much of a living on that store?
Well, he told me during the war, it's the first World War now, 1918, that he made $1,200 a year, 1 year. That's $100 a month. At that time, I expected that was pretty good money.
That
was during the war.
Yeah. And so he, with shipping, how would he ship the things? You say he took them into Luray and then they would go by...
Well, I shipped them by express. You could ship by express at that time. Take them at the Passenger Depot down there, that express in there. You just take them there and they'd ship them by express. Mm-hmm. And that was something I think went along maybe close to the mail route in the, on the passenger train.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I was right. I don't know.
Yeah. You were young then, so it was hard, for you to remember. But anything at all that you can recall, you know, is something that we don't know. That's the fascinating part.
That's the front of the store now. That's him standing there with the car. That was when we moved up here. See, the door was in the front there of the road.
Oh,
had
yeah.
A big porch clean across.
The porch on the
front. Now, I don't know where that picture is, but we got it.
Oh, dear.
Well, I want for it some more.
All right. Please do, because you know what the park would like to do is reproduce that and give it back to you.
Yeah. Well, I've got it. I ought to be here somewhere.
Well, it was in here.
I wasn't born about 8 years old, maybe not that old.
Mm.
And this huckster van I was talking about, Mr. Killawaters, he used to come around. After Mr. S.O. Judd to give up the route, by Killawaters come around with buy eggs. And he had his horses down there in front of the store. And we take a picture standing there.
Uh-huh. And where would he take those eggs then?
Where would he take them? Now, I don't know. I expect maybe he would take them and maybe ship them maybe to somewhere in Baltimore and ship them. There was no place around here that you could sell them.
Well, everybody had their own chickens.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. There weren't many neighbors here then, were there?
Many neighbors? Well, there was right many in Jewel Holler. A lot of people in Jewel Holler at that time. A lot of houses and families lived in Jewel Holler.
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Well, Oscar Joe's mother and father, they lived up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Pearl Muller, don't you? Alvin Miller's wife, where her parents lived up there. And then a lot of the Sarah's is down here.
Jimbo Sowers lived
Jimbo
up
Sarah's
there.
Family. And all he had a big family.
He's all his children down there. They all lived up when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Frank Jewell lived up there, John A. Sowers, Sam Sowers, Alma Sowers, Adam Sowers, John A. John Smelser, Abram Smelser, Jake Griffin, Thomas Jewell.
That was a lot of people for one hollow.
Well, they all had children. It made it, a lot of people up in there.
You know that all that people.
That was Jimbo's, John Ace, John D. Sowers, that was Jim, lived over here, right at the entrance where we go in to do the hall.
Mm-hmm.
He had 11 children.
Yeah.
And all of the older people now, they always go over here to church. And they'd be in church there every Sunday, unless it was real and paid sure enough. Yeah. Now they'd walk way up in there.
This little Morning Star Church.
Yes, me.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the tale of Mr. Ellis lived right over the hill here in Dalton Morgan's house.
Yeah.
That he would come barefooted up here to the road, then put on his shoes and walk from here.
Church.
That's,
Save his shoes.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
Then they didn't have no money to buy those shoes. When they got a pair of shoes, they had to save them.
Where did they buy shoes? Did your father have shoes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had shoes. Yeah, shoes, overalls. Yeah, that general merchandise. He had the best stock store in Page County at one time.
Good heavens, this you hadn't, you were going to...
Everything, he had everything from a knitting needle to a big plow. everything. Harness, leather, shoes.
Caps.
Hats.
Gloves.
Anything.
Anything you wanted, you could get it.
Yeah. Had medicine of all kinds.
What kind?
Well, heights, pain remedy, orders. Swamp root, you know, made by Kilmer over here. For that, he made it in New York, but he owned that farm in the New Market over that horse farm for years.
Yeah.
Kilmer did. I don't know. Black dog.
Well, this man that came around then, this huckster, would he bring your father things?
Oh, no.
Well, where did your father get them from?
He would order them. They would have a saleswoman to go around them days. See, the Little Racer Pie Company had a place down here, and they had a saleswoman to come around every week. Well, he would buy sardines, vine of sausage, and stuff like that from them. They held up practically anything that you wanted. Sugar and cigarettes. And they had a Nelson Hardware people. Roanoke had a man come around once about over 30 days. He would sell hardware. He would sell harness, hames, and trace chains. Same trees, clips, and all like that with it.
Yeah.
With plows, same as other plows.
It seems inconceivable that these people could buy all these things with just bringing in chestnuts, ginseng, dried apples, beans, and walnuts.
Well, they would sell a calf. They didn't tell them how to calf. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Had a cow. They'd get a calf off of her every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they had maybe something else that they maybe had two cows. Maybe some of them were fortunate enough to have two cows. Or maybe they'd raise a colt. They generally had a horse and a cow.
Mm-hmm.
They had beaver and barn, but they hadn't had a horse.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. So this would, of course, help pay for buying a lot of the things they needed.
Well, they may raise some potatoes maybe sometimes and sell them. I know them sell potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember whether Dad ever bought any potatoes or not, but I think he has. Maybe not many, but somebody would have a bunch of potatoes to sell and would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And generally sometimes he would have somebody at Luray, you know, like I said a while ago, that would want a bunch of potatoes. They'd call him up and say, if you get a bunch of potatoes, save them for me, you know.
And the word would get around.
And the word got around and wanted a bunch of potatoes, somebody bring him in a bunch of potatoes.
Uh-huh. And they'd have the credit.
Then they would take them, send them to Luray, or the man maybe would come after and drive up there and get them. I just don't remember. Sometimes he would.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Matt and Charlie Tuckwell, they live right up here. You know where they live?
Yes, I do.
My dad used to buy shingles from them. They used to make shingles.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled them down here with a horse on a slide. 700 at a time. Horse and slide. And you had them, well, when I was a boy, they had them stacked down here along the road, down along here. That was on the lower side, on the upper side, when I was a boy, it was a rock fence from here, clean on out past Elvis, rock fence, on both sides of the road. Big rock fence.
Yeah.
But they throw them all in the road, and that's, they built the road out. But they stacked the shingles down there. I remember my dad had told them that he would just have to quit buying them. He said, I've got about 15,000 shingles here. And he said, I just can't sell them. He said, I don't know. He said, I've just got to quit buying them. Now, I don't know, maybe a month, or maybe 2 months after that, or maybe a week. I just don't remember. The G4 Tanner called up there and wanted to know if he had any shingles. I said, yes. I said, I got some shingles. He said, we'd like to have about 10 or 15,000. He said, we want to cover a shed. He says, all right, I got them. I'm going to get them. And of course, they come and bring him more shingles then.
Do you recall how much he paid for those 700 shingles? I'm really racking your brains, aren't I? I'm sorry.
Well, I just
you see, you just never didn't have no opportunity to talk about it.
No.
Just kind of forget.
I think it was $3.50. About a half a cent a shingle, wouldn't it be that much?
That sounds right.
I believe, yeah. My mind, that's about what he paid. In cash. Now, he never gave them no cash. He built that out. They lived on it.
That's right.
And a lot of people would bring posts to him, fence posts. He'd buy a fence post.
Well, they bought some too.
Well, they bought some too, yeah. But these fellows out of the jewel hall, a lot of them would bring fence posts. I think a quarter apiece, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe less than that. I don't know. And he would pile them up or set them up on the end, rack them up. And somebody would come along and want to build down around Luray, or someone want to build a fence line. He'd get the post. That's the reason.
He was a great help to these mountain people.
Yes, yeah.
I wonder why he ever decided to start the store.
Well, his dad run a store over here where Mr. Bernie Schaefer lives, right at the foot of the used to be Leroy Miller and Leroy Sowers.
Yeah.
It used to be an old store building set right up in there. And my granddaddy, run it for Mr. S. O. Judd, one of my uncles, my dad's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe that's how he got into it. I think he had part interest in it, but he never stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
He done the farming up here at the home. So.
How long was he in business until the park took over?
Yes, it was in business till about 1936 or 1937.
Mm-hmm. And then that really wiped them out, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, in the '30s, after things began to boom from 1932, the store business began to drop down. People buy a car. Of course, anybody that wanted to go to town, they would get him to take them or buy him a little gas or go to town. Mm-hmm. And it got away from the country store. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a fascinating story. And to you, it's not. And I say, this is a fascinating story. To you, it is not, because it's something you know. But when people do not know how the store worked, all they have ever heard is W. Lee Judd Store. And, you know, we just don't know enough about the people that lived there. Unfortunately, no one took the time to ask them how they lived. And so garbled stories have come out.
A lot of times my dad would, if somebody wanted a day's work, you know, he could cut bushes for him, a lot of put them over there and work them maybe a week. You know, help them out. I know them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
People. Or anyway, you know, on the farm, he kept a man there for a while when I was a boy to do a little farming he did. And then we had a boy to come here from Mr. Gene Williams. He lived over here before he died. But he come here when he was just a boy, about 10 years old. You know?
10, 11. I think
it
might have been a little bit
older than that. Maybe it was. And mother died. She lived down here where my brother lived. And they lived down there. His mother died. And the boys, one of them, Ernest, went over to Mr. Noy Sowers. He lived over there. Cecil Bridge, he got his cabin. He stayed over there. The eldest said, the one who lives across from you there, he went over to Mr. Noy. He went over to Mr. Noy Sowers to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And this boy, my dad had a little, old house set right up here in the woods, and they stayed up there a while. And he would come down there and sit around the store, you know. Dad had a little job or something, he'd get him to do it, you know, that's the way he. So one night, it was cold, rainy, and the boys sat down here and closed up around 9 o'clock sometime, 10 o'clock at that time. And he was going up through the woods. And Dad said to my mother, I got a notion to tell him to bring his clothes down and stay down in the bed.
When he come back, he had his clothes tied up in one of these big red bandanas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. And they after their parents died, see, they just left.
Well, they didn't have anything.
No, they
just
didn't
down
have
and out. Yeah. Down and out.
You know, if he had his clothes in.
But a good worker, a good boy.
Well, yeah, he worked.
Good boy.
Yeah.
Yes, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
He just needed a place to stay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he stayed here and he got married.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they still worked for him after they got married. Well, after the soul was stolen, the horses and things like that. Well, of course, they didn't need it then.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I.
And I know a family of people that had diphtheria. And he kept them, giving food to them the whole time that they were sick.
You wouldn't happen to know when that was.
It's been years ago. It must have been.
Well, who were they? Who was it?
Well, but they...
The reason I asked when it was, there's a story that we're confirming that there are several cemeteries up there in the park with small children. You know, you can tell by the dates on them. Yeah. And they were all the same year. And we figure it must have been an epidemic of some kind. And we're trying to find out what the epidemic was that took all these small children all in the same year. And I don't recall the year. I think it was around 1912 or something like that.
Well, I expect maybe this would be around 1912. I was just quite small, I know that, I just remember.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, she wouldn't let me go down the store, you know. She was afraid that this was afraid to be carried out of the day. I must have been quite small because I went down the store packing what I wanted.
Well, you weren't too small if you
wanted. It might have been around about that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. Anything else you can think of about the story?
Well,
I tell you, in the wintertime, if you're there Saturday night, that's where we'd all come.
Oh.
And, what was the fellas that used to play the banjo, George Sayers?
George Anson used to come down here. George Anson used to come down here. There was Oscar Jewell, Rosa Jewell.
I don't know where they played, but
the couple of them used to play.
Yeah. Everybody wanted to dance, they could dance. But boy, we enjoyed it. We had a good time.
Sure, right there in the store.
Yes, right in the store.
Mm-hmm. On every Saturday night?
Most every Saturday night in the wintertime.
Oh,
well, it wasn't, you know what I mean, it wasn't announced or nothing like that.
No.
Everybody just come to the store.
It
felt like that.
And I think,
they never danced.
He had a camera guitar down there, didn't he? A banjo.
Who?
Granddad Joe.
Well, he had a guitar and a banjo. Yeah. Laid on the counter all the time.
And if they'd come, they'd want to play, you know, they'd play them.
Do you recall what were the store hours?
4 o'clock in the morning till 12 at night.
You must be kidding.
Well, I've many times been in the bed, people come here at 4 o'clock in the morning, holler for Dad to get up, I want some tobacco. I got to have some chewing tobacco. Yes, I've heard them many times.
Well, I think they come several times for medicine, too.
Well, all this, yes. Yeah.
Well, what were the normal hours?
Oh, well, he would get down there by 7 o'clock anyhow. Get up and eat, 7 o'clock. But in later years, he never got up for about 9, and he would get down around 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And 9 o'clock come, he'd close up for the night. That was the closing hour. Mm-hmm. That is, I'd say, from 22 or 3 on up to that.
Yeah.
The time before that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would stay open any time. Anybody wanted anything, all they had to do was come in and holler. Get up and go get it.
He was a nice man, wasn't he? I wouldn't.
Somebody, you know, in the days they used to make a little whiskey, they would generally buy their stuff, you know, and there were nights nobody wasn't around, so you wouldn't see them if they wanted anything. And I heard my mother telling me many times, I wouldn't get up. What do you get up for? Let them go. Well, she says, I'll see what they want. That's the way, then they come back. You've got to do that, you can't. And he knew practically when anybody walked in the store, what they wanted and what they was going to get. You know, sort of a routine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, he really knew the people.
Yeah, he knew the people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is fascinating.
He knew them from, well, childhood.
You have said so many nice things about George Corbin.
Now, you talk to George. You see him around Luray. He's living with his son out here in East End. Now, his son works for the town, Luray town.
And now, George Corbin used to underwrite people that needed it. His daddy,
Madison Corbin, father, Madison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was he like? Was he a big man?
No, he was a short, heavy-set fellow. He wasn't very tall. He was an average side man.
But George, you say, did live there in the park,
Yeah. Built a cabin down there at his house, I understand. I don't know, is that maybe Bird's cabin or you know?
No, Corbin cabin.
Corbin cabin. Well, that's George's house remodel, I believe. Mm-hmm.
A Corbin cabin.
I'm going down there these days.
Oh, yes, you ought to.
Is it a trail goes from Hughes River down Corbin Hall? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just go up Crusher Ridge and just go right on down. Yeah. And it takes you right to Corbin Cabin. Mm-hmm. Lamberts do it all the time.
They walk across there?
Oh, Lamberts up here, they
mm-hmm.
do?
Well, I'm not going to walk. I might walk and drive up on the drive. I'm not going to walk up this mountain. I've walked in it many times.
You can't drive to Corbin Cabin.
No. Oh, no.
You have to do it on your feet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's down quite a ways.
Yeah, I don't know what we're saying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The land was so rocky, wasn't it? You wonder how they could raise things.
Well, if you ever got any dirt to cover it up with, you got a good crop. They would dig around the rocks and get the dirt some way. If you ever got it covered up in the corn, they clean you ground a lot, you know what I mean? Yeah. Clean the trees, everything off other than farming you ground. That would bring good crops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have just been wonderful to give me this interview. I appreciate it. If there's anything further you can think of,
there's a family one time that lived in this first house up here where you get to Lambert's, Nichols. And they farmed them their banks over there. And they always had just plenty and plenty to eat. Dave Nichols, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, all up in here.
It was new ground. They had to clear it off and work it. It was inside the hill.
I know it is.
Yeah. But they had just plenty of stuff out. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And they raised hogs up there because we were up there one time to have the butcher. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. They made good lemons.
A lot of work.
Yes, you got to stay with it. You couldn't go down your town instead of the filling station or down the street and look at the cars go by. You got to stay with it.
Well, there weren't no cars at that time to go by.
What do you mean?
Couldn't watch the girls go by.
No. It wasn't many filling stations either.
No. Well,
you didn't know what it was going down. You might have went down Saturday night in the later years, but when I was a boy, you didn't get down. Well, if there's a circus coming to town, you might go down and see
once
that.
Once a year, that was when we got to town. We'd somebody would hitch up a, take a wagon, hitch two horses to it, and fill it up full of people. And we'd go down there to In Long Park, and that's where they had this show.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all the time we'd have to take when we was growing up.
That's right.
Of course, then later years you got to go more, but it just wasn't nothing down there.
No. Uh-uh. No need to go.
No. And you didn't have the money to spend.
You didn't know you didn't have the money.
No. Mm-hmm. And the hobby horses, I remember that. I loaned them things all day long. It was 5 cents a ride. 5 cents.
You were an expensive young girl.
Wasn't that now? But I just loved to ride them things.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't ride anything then. Sure
did you have your own horses?
No, we didn't know. I don't know who taken the wagon.
Who's that?
I said, I don't know who would always take the wagon.
John Fletcher mostly would take the wagon, wouldn't he? John?
I don't think every time.
Well, I don't know if anybody else is riding with but
oh,
Mr.
Well,
John Sowers.
Plenty of people over there would have horses.
Well, I don't remember them riding with them.
They'd put hay in the wagon, we'd sit down in that thing, there we go.
Uh-huh. Well, is there anything more that you can think of, Mr. Judd?
Well, a lot of times maybe I could think of some or just ask me for that.
Thing, I can't ask you because I don't know what it is you know. And everything is so important, truly important. Well, I tell you what, if you think of anything, you can always let me know.
Okay.
Because we want to get as good a story. This is a beautiful one, meanwhile, that you have given us. And I sure appreciate it. I'm going to shut this off and...
Well, it was, these always come down from Skyland, Denver, off of George Price, didn't
they? Yes,
it?
Yes, they come on out the road.
And they'd have a couple of them, they'd be riding horses.
Well, it'd be about maybe 8-10 in the horses. He'd be a leader, he was a very exciting man, he could good very conversation and entertaining. Just entertain all of that.
Mm-hmm. So he would stop here at the store?
Yeah, he would stop down here and get some horses. He'd come up here sometimes after water. And he'd bring his little jug or whatever he had along and he would take a drink, pass it around, and get on the horse and go on. I think they mostly went up there at Beam's store. Maybe it used to be there right below the Horseshoe Bend was a store there.
That's right.
Run by Will Beam. I think his daddy had a store maybe there. Mr. Rob Beam maybe run a store there one time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there's as far as they went.
Yes.
Now, I don't know the ones that they went there for dinner or ate dinner or what. I guess maybe they did. The gentleman would come by here in the morning and come back by here in the evening.
And stop again?
No, they never stop going back. They hardly stop going back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.